Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuning to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahia, on Radio Islam International. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. September is Deaf Awareness Month, and to tell us more about it is my guest, Naseema Qadir. She is a speech therapist and audiologist based in Indonesia. Naseema works primarily in the field of audiology, conducting hearing tests, fitting of hearing aids, support and management related to hearing loss, middle ear infections, and assistive devices. She also works at the MC Karabai Special Needs School in Indonesia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Naseema, and welcome to Youth Talk.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah for having me today.
Only a pleasure. Obviously, the aim of the show is to educate and empower our listeners on deaf awareness, so we can show support to those who have hearing loss and are deaf, and obviously create an environment of inclusion, love, respect, and understanding. So I'm going to ask you, Sister Naseema, if you can please explain to us, what is the theme for this year's Deaf Awareness Month, and if you can tell us more about that.
Okay, for this year, 2021, the theme for Deaf Awareness is celebrating thriving deaf communities. So the basic catchment phrase that they are using is, we sign for human rights. And that has a twofold meaning, because you know that the communication that deaf people use is sign language. And when they say you sign for human rights, it also has a literal meaning to that. What we've been finding is that over the years, the deaf community, because deafness is not a disability that is a visual one, it tends to be overlooked, and people don't really recognize it. And then the whole issues that come in with regards to human rights and the deaf community having to lobby for them, that all comes in. So they are trying to showcase the deaf history. They're trying to bring about the prominent people that are leadership role models in the deaf community, and they want to really bring their language forward. So the sign language, they want it to be available in all deaf schools, so that there is definitely a successful means of communication.
I also need to ask you, you know, for the sake of obviously for education and empowerment, what are the causes of hearing loss and deafness in children?
If we're focusing on children, the first thing that we have to look at is we're going to document it in terms of conception. So the first thing that we would have to concentrate on is the fact that it might be, the cause may be a genetic one. So if you have a parent or a family member that may have hearing loss, that is not something that is acquired. So they were born with a hearing loss, and that is what we term a congenital hearing loss. It is very likely that the child may also have a hearing loss. And during the pregnancy itself, so there might be complications that happen. One of the major factors that we look at is rubella, which is your measles. So if the mom contracts measles during the pregnancy, there's a likelihood that the child may have a hearing loss. So the other thing that could be is maternal diabetes. And during the birth process itself, there could be lack of oxygen or something like that that could result in a hearing loss. The acquired hearing losses that we're looking at is ear infections and other infections that come up, like meningitis, the measles again, encephalitis, chicken pox, influenza, mumps. And if the child has gone through a head injury or is exposed to excessive loud noise. So these are the things we're looking at in terms of a child acquiring hearing loss. And when we're looking at the hearing loss, obviously there's types of hearing loss. So we look at it like that. And there's a triad of that. There's sensory neural hearing loss, is a mixed hearing loss, and a conductive hearing loss. Mm-hmm. So the conductive hearing loss would fall under the acquired hearing loss that you have. Sensory neural is more something that the person is born with, or it is due to some other effect that cannot be remedied. So the person cannot go for an operation and then the hearing is fine again. So that's the challenges we're dealing with when we're looking at causes of hearing loss and types of hearing loss.
Okay, then speaking about like hearing loss and deafness, is it the same term? Is there a big difference in there? Because that's a question that's often asked.
Okay. When we look at hearing loss, we look at severity. That is our marker in terms of of whether the hearing loss is what we call a mild hearing loss, moderate hearing loss, a severe, or a profound hearing loss. So those are the categories, the broad categories we would look at in terms of loss. And then you have your normal range, obviously. So a person that has hearing loss in any one of the frequencies, and if you work out like an average when we're doing the testing, if it's below 40, then we're looking at somebody that is struggling in terms of communicating using oral means of communication. But if it is less than 40 and maybe up to 60 even, that is more of what we would term a person with a mild hearing loss and is more hard of hearing. So the difference comes in terms of how are you going to manage this. A person who is hard of hearing, they could use an assistive device, like a hearing aid, cochlear implant, brainstem implants. There's so much available now, bone-anchored hearing aids. Technology has advanced to a stage. If we look at our phones, for example, what we're able to do with our phones now as opposed to maybe 10 years ago, and we're looking at hearing aids in the similar field of technology. So there has been a lot available. But unfortunately, when we look at our country, South Africa, we tend to lag behind, and that's not because of the technology per se, but it's because of the late identification of the hearing loss.
Mm.
So we don't have, good systems in place in terms of detecting a hearing loss early enough to be able to make the full benefit, have the full advantage of using an assistive device. And because hearing is like one of your fundamental what you need to develop a spoken language, oral language, and communication. If the hearing is not available early on, the child then is at risk of having a language disorder, and then obviously late in speaking and all of those things. So it does, so that's the thing we're looking at. So when we're looking at deafness would be a person that, even though they would be using an assistive device, they have access to environmental sounds, but they don't really benefit so much with regards to actually hearing speech. So that is how we would kind of differentiate the two. And they would rely more on sign language. They would rely more on written, writing to each other. And they would also look a lot at the visual cues, so lip reading, speech reading, and expression. That's very, very important for a deaf person to try and communicate with you.
Right. You know, when you mentioned, the difference between hearing loss and the like you said, from mild to moderate, and also with deafness. Other symptoms that parents can look out for when a child is very young, or later, if you say, for example, like you said, if a child's been exposed to maybe measles or chickenpox, or if the child could be injured and there could be a problem with hearing, what would be the symptoms for parents initially to look out for, and then later maybe in other environments, if a child gets hurt, what for teachers to pay attention to?
I think one of the main things is you have to, as a parent, you must be very focused in terms of how you communicate with your child. If you find that your child is not very attentive, if they are not facing you and you're calling them and you find that you need to tap them on the shoulder, you need to increase the level of your voice, then that's one of the first things that you would be alerted to in terms of, why is my child not hearing me? And if besides you calling your child, you also need to look at your environment. So, for example, a baby. If you decide to put on a a liquidizer or the vacuum machine, that's a sudden loud noise if the child is in a quiet environment, and you should be able to see that the child has what we call a startle response. So in other words, they suddenly shocked to hear this loud sound that is in an environment that was otherwise quiet.
Mm.
So those are the kind of things that you look at. Sometimes you might be speaking to your child and they misunderstand the instructions you give them or the directions, or they would tend to want to put the television up much louder or the radio if they're using that. Or even if they're using earphones, if you're walking past them, you can even hear what is going on in that through that earphone. So also the demands of listening. If a person is not listening at the right level, then they actually have to use a lot more energy to try and attend to what the person is saying. And you would find that that person is generally much, much more tired during the course of the day. Also, child would be very irritable. You will see the child pulling on their ears, scratching their ears, and, you know, just being miserable sometimes if it is an infection, for example. So these are some of the things you can look out for in your child. And if the child has any of the illnesses I mentioned, then it's always a good idea to just go and check it up, focus, monitor your child, and if you're concerned at any stage. Sometimes we may also, you know, we're so focused on the fact that on deafness, we might even miss out that the child might have a mild or a moderate hearing loss.
Mm. Yes,
and that's very common because the child tends to kind of fit in. And, you know, we speak in sentences also. So they fill in the blanks in terms of the sounds that they don't hear. So they tend to be able to, you know, progress. But they may come to a stage while they're much older, and then you start seeing that they're having problems with their literacy, or they're having problems in school. And that may be just related to a hearing loss. And that's not picked up very easily because, you know, the child looks fine, functions fine, and all of that. But if you isolate certain sounds, you will see that the child may not be able to hear a sound like sh, which is the S sound, and the sound not actually saying S, or the sh, the ch, the th, or the f, the F. So those are very soft, high-frequency sounds. And you know, you'll find that the child may be having a problem with things like rhyming. They may be having a problem, you know, in your class, in the classroom situation. They just may miss or misunderstand certain sounds or words that are very similar. So that's where you pick up some of the difficulties as well.
These are some of the telltale signs. Now, suppose a child has been experiencing hearing loss. You don't know the severity of it, and parents have picked it up, or maybe educators, or maybe in the maktab they've picked this up. What should be the next step? Like, where do you go for help? I mean, I would assume you go to your GP first, who probably recommend that, you know, go to a specialist. But then what will be the process after that?
Okay. If we concentrate on a government school setting, for example, let's say that, there are structures in place to assist the child in terms of getting support. So in every school, there should be a school-based support team. And the school-based support team should be informed once the child has been to the GP, or it most probably would be the audiologist who does the test and documents the results, or the ENT, for example. So it could be a number of people. And then once you have a diagnosis, the school-based support teams need to be informed in terms of what support the child requires. In most cases, the child would need a hearing aid, or the child may need something which we call an FM system. An FM system is for a child with more of a mild hearing loss, where the FM system would be a direct input of the teacher's voice, and it cuts out all of the background noise in the classroom. So the child is able to still focus on what the teacher is, and whatever lesson the teacher is doing, and all the background noise doesn't really impact so much on the hearing. And it also works very well for children who have attention deficit disorder. So, you know, that is another thing that comes in a school setting. So that is something that's there. And then I mentioned the hearing aids or cochlear implants or any other device that, that the child may require. Now, the Department of Education does assist somewhat in obtaining hearing aids or whatever it is that the child would need. And it would be similar to giving a child a textbook because that is something that the child would require. So you make adaptations in your class, you bring the child up to sit more closer to where the teacher is. It may not necessarily be in the front. The teacher stands more in the back and, you know, is using a smart board or something to conduct a lesson. You want the child to be closer to the source of the sound. Also, the visual cues are very important, so the child should be able to see, and the teacher needs to make that extra effort to clarify with the child all of the time that they have, in fact, followed the instructions, they understand the instructions, they should be able to look at the teacher's face and have the expressions, and it must be quite clear to them. Mm-hmm. If you're not going through the route of the education department, then you need to, most people actually would go through to a professional and they would get the hearing test done and then they would get a prescription of what type of hearing aid or assistive device will suit the child the best and then obviously go through the whole fitting process. So the hearing aid would be selected in terms of what the hearing loss is. And it would be set according to what the specific needs of that child is. And, you know, hearing aids, I would say, are much like glasses. Because
you get the right fit.
Yeah, you know what? Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel, oh, you know what, they don't want to be seen with a hearing aid. And there's a whole lot of stigma with regards to hearing aid because it's not something that's very common as opposed to glasses, for example. But they function in exactly the same way because nobody ever teases a child for wearing glasses. But they know they need to use it. They're able to see the board clearly and, you know, it benefits them in whatever way they need. So the hearing aid is going to function in the same way because it's going to give this child access to the teacher's voice or the if they're working in a group, however it is meant to help him. So, you know, a lot of people feel, ah, you know what, don't wear it today. There's a lot of what we call like, you know, people who actually don't really commit to using it consistently.
Yes.
And I've seen devices
recently, and I mean with technology as well, this technology being so advanced, these hearing aids are basically invisible. They're so tiny, they're not protruding as they used to be years ago. So also, you know, for children who may feel uncomfortable wearing it, it's not that easily visible to other people. So the whole idea of, again, like I said, of today's show is to break the stigma, you know, to break the stereotype. So, you know, to respect that we're all not the same and we all will have challenges and to respect those challenges and make everyone feel included and comfortable. So I think you will agree that, you know, the types of hearing aids and assistive devices that are available right now make it much easier, I guess.
They do, but there is a limitation with regards to children. We can't fit in the very invisible hearing aids that go into a child, into the ear canal because the child is still growing. So the ear canal is also going to change in terms of its shape, its size, and you can't, every time that happens, you can't go and get a new hearing aid because hearing aids tend to be costly. But they also have what we call the receiver in the ear, and that type of hearing aid is very, very small. It actually is less noticeable than the hearing aid that goes in the ear because it uses a very slim tube. It uses a tip that's rubber or it's made for the child. So, and there's a very small piece that goes on the, sits on the top of the ear. So it's so inconspicuous, sorry.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, it's just that we have to break that barrier in terms of getting the child to accept the use of the hearing aid. So if a child is using a hearing aid in the classroom, the peers need to be aware that, you know what, it's not fine to tease a child using the hearing aid or whatever it is. So the acceptance issue of the device is very, very important.
I can imagine. Also, I was going to just ask you, we know we're going to be breaking for an ad just now, but we'll get into more details about support offers available for parents. But just a quick question, that at what point when the hearing loss, obviously tests will be conducted regularly, I would assume. If a child has mild hearing loss, the child will still be in a classroom situation. But at what point, with tests, is it decided that now a child may need to attend the school for special needs?
Look, hearing loss cannot be just looked at in isolation, because with regards to the whole auditory system being so closely connected to communication, and if we look at the phonic system is what we use to teach children how to read. And that is, the child needs to have good listening skills and good perceptual skills. So auditory perceptual skills come in. The child has to be able to differentiate between different sounds and then develop, an idea in their brain in terms of what the letter looks like and associate it with the sound. So that's a very much of a higher functioning. So that has to go with your whole, with the brain functioning that has to do with perception, auditory perception. Mm-hmm. And it's different for every child. What, in my experience, what I've seen is that we may have two children. One child has very bad hearing loss, and maybe what we would call a little bit brighter. And you may have another child that has a much better hearing level, so maybe moderate, for example. But that child may be struggling to grasp concepts. Yes. So what happens is it's individual in terms of that.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to ask you if we can continue after the ad break, yes?
Yeah.
And I have a few questions to ask after the ad break as well. To our beloved listeners, please do not go away. If you would like to call us and ask any questions to Nasima, you are welcome to call us on 011-854-1548. Inshallah, we will return shortly. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahiya, on Radio Islam International. And this morning, we're talking about deaf awareness with my guest, speech and hearing therapist, Nasima Qadir. I believe we have a caller online.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, sister?
Shukran, alhamdulillah. How are you, Bibi Aisha?
Alhamdulillah. How can we assist you?
I just wanted to ask two things, or maybe one thing was just an observation. I have a daughter who's now a teenager, and when she was little, she was quite a sickly little child, always like snotty and chesty, and we used to go to doctors and pediatricians literally like monthly, and not anybody picked up that through all of those infections she'd been like having ear infections and losing hearing. And I picked that up because when I talked to her, she would like not listen, you know, second or third time until you like raise your voice, and she'd look at you like, why are you shouting at me? Like, it's the first time she's heard it. And when we took her to a hearing audiologist, we picked up hearing loss. But what I was wanting to share is the importance of parents making kids aware of what the kid is going through. So she was taught early on that, you know, she wasn't able to hear well, and therefore in her classes with her teachers, she made them aware. And she always asked to sit in front of the class so she would like, not be distracted by other noise, by other kids, and that she would be up front. And that helped her to cope a lot as well. And I just thought that's also an important thing, because we in society think, oh, it's a stigma, my child's got a hearing problem, and we try and make your child aware that, you know, you have a little bit of a difficulty hearing. Nothing to be embarrassed about, but you need to make your teacher aware so that when you don't hear something and you ask for a second time, that the teacher doesn't get upset. And we did the same at every parents' meeting. We meet the teacher aware that there's a slight hearing loss if she asks, or please ensure she always sits in the front of the class. And I just thought that is maybe, you know, a useful topic or a useful comment to share with other parents as well.
I really appreciate that you're doing that, Mom, because obviously for parents to also accept what is going on with the child and making other people aware is very, very important. And that was going to actually be my next question to Nasima, of support that's available for parents. And then also, the fact that, you know, you are so open with educators about this is what's going on with your child, that obviously makes it easier in the classroom situation. So I really want to thank you so much for making this comment. Nasima, I'm sure you will agree with me that, you know, in order to help the child, everyone, all stakeholders need to be on board and on the same page.
Gee, definitely. I really appreciate the parent phoning in and sharing the experience that her child went through and the support that she gave to her daughter in those years. And really, you know, we speak so much about the teacher and the professionals that are involved, and not so much in terms of the family and especially the parents. So that is actually more important for the child than anybody else, that they have the support of their family, they have the understanding of their family. And, as the mom mentioned, that you can't hide away and look at it as a stigma. If you're going to do that, then you're going to really disadvantage your child. So you need to accept it first. And then you need to share it with everybody else and inform them on how it is that they can assist you.
Most definitely. Jazakallah so much to our caller for
sorry, just one question, Birasha, and maybe your guest can answer that while I'll drop off and listen on the radio. Are there classes that you may be aware of for sign language for the general public? I've just naturally been interested in learning, not anymore because my child's, I mean, her hearing's back to normal, but from a you know, interest perspective, so if there is any classes or anybody that teaches the general public sign language, I'd be happy to hear about that.
Thank you so much for the question. It was actually my next question to Nasima. Nasima, you know, for the general public and for family members, you know, it's actually beneficial for family members sign language and to be able to communicate with a deaf child. And where can this be learned? So please, if you can assist us.
Okay, with regards to learning sign language, there are many formal institutions that provide sign language training, like the SLED and WITS Language School. There is all of that available, but they tend to be a little bit more costly, and they may not be structured in... it also depends on why do you want to learn sign language. So if mommy is saying that she has an interest in it, obviously, she's had a child that has had difficulty over the years. Our school, MCK Special School, that is just behind the Trade Route Mall, and a lot of people confuse us with just one. We are two different schools, but we both are special schools catering for different types of services to the community. We used to have Saturday classes at the school premises, and it was open to the entire public. So anybody could go and make arrangements to say, okay, fine, they are coming through. And we have our deaf educators, our deaf staff that come in, and they actually volunteer and take out their time to assist because they know how important it is for the family to be able to communicate with a deaf child. So those classes they still are available for free. The way we structured it over COVID was it was more online, but you can always contact the school and you can speak to Vanessa Patta. She is the coordinator of that program at our school, and she can give you an updated, updated information in terms of how the classes are structured. Also, it's not like a very formally structured because we have people that join us during the course. And so it's more of a needs basis. So what is it that the group requires? And we would start off, you know, in terms of how do you, like, for example, what we call a sign name.
Yes.
We have, we can call somebody by their name, and obviously that doesn't work with a deaf person. So we have a sign name for each person, and you can't spell a person's name out every time you're speaking to them. So that is something that you would start with. And then basic vocabulary, the person that's coming in needs to say, okay, this is what I'm trying. And then it's always good to have a person that is deaf as a buddy. So you have a chance to actually practice what it is that you are learning, because otherwise you're not going to really retain all of the information that you get from the classes.
Got a comment from one of our listeners that they would obviously want you to please share the number of the school, please, because they are interested in sign language. So So if you can please share the number with our listeners, and I will ask you the other question shortly.
Okay. The school's number is 011-852-7827. That's 011-852-7827. You can also just drop us an email, which is admin@mck.org.za. And that's our admission admin ladies that will forward it to the right person that, you know, will take it up then.
Okay. I think very important question that the mummy raised, our caller, which is so important, that we often think of obviously supporting the learner who has a hearing loss or is deaf and, you know, support available from the classroom situation. But what about support for parents? When you have this beautiful baby and you're picking up that this child may be having a problem with hearing, and parents are told that this is what is going on with your child and this is the process that you need to follow. So the support for parents, what support is available for parents of a child who is deaf?
Okay, there is an organization that's called the High Hopes. Mm-hmm. Now, the High Hopes was actually started more as a support group for learners or children that were identified early, and it was really focused on the early identification. And from that organization, we had an organization that that became specifically for parents. So it's called the Hope for Hurting Parents. Hope for Hurting Parents, where there was a medical professional who had children that were born deaf. She had more than one child with a hearing loss. And she felt, you know what, there was a lot of these gaps in terms of supporting the parent. And she focused more on that. So there is definitely help available. And it is in the form of these two organizations in South Africa, and it is national organizations. And, you know, we have even one person that's on the who is a sister of one of the members of parliament. So, you know, it's quite big. And there is a lot available. And I think if you start off by just speaking to even somebody at our school, they can direct you in terms of where help is available based on exactly what it is that you want. So there is help available for parents, for siblings, and, you know, because, I mean, as much I always say, we as professionals, we are not actually living through the experience. It is the family that's living through the experience.
Yes. Which brings me again to my next question, that often when there is a child that may have a challenge that is a little bit more greater, like say, for example, if in this situation there's a child who is deaf or a child who has hearing loss and there are other siblings, there has to be support offered for the siblings also, because it's normal, it's human nature. Sometimes one sibling may feel that mom and dad are paying too much attention to a particular child because maybe their child is experiencing, like I said, hearing loss or has a hearing problem. So that bit of reassurance from parents and also the understanding to the sibling that we need to be supportive to this particular brother or sister is also very important. What are your thoughts about that?
It's very, very important. I think I couldn't have said it better than you. Because I think with any disability, and not only with deafness, is that, you know what, we tend to focus, there's the therapy, there's the medical, you know, appointments, and there's looking for a special school. The focus tends to be on the child that has the special needs. And often we find that the child, there may be a sibling that doesn't have any disability. And especially in the younger years, they would then feel this jealousy, as you mentioned. And we need to be able to balance the two. It's very demanding. And it's, you know, Allah Ta'ala has actually given a special child to a special parent, I would say. You know, because the role of that parent to try and fulfill all the needs for their special child and then to be able to still function in terms of giving the same attention to not just the child, but the spouse, the other family members, you know, and function, it's really demanding. And you know what, I really want to commend the parents on this, that, you know, if you have found that balance, you're able to just function every day, and at the end of the day, you can say, you know what, I've done my best for today. really you have done.
Absolutely, and I think you couldn't have said it better when you said, you know, special children will be given to parents who are special. I mean, all children are special in their own way, but yes, it can be taxing. And I'm sure also for parents that, you know, who have children who are deaf, when they form a support group, they can relate to each other's challenges and be a source of comfort to each other as well.
Yes, that's very important. I mean, with everything, I already mentioned that if you're going through the journey, then you have more information in terms of what it is that will work best. So we also have parents that that have a support group at our school. So one of the ladies, she has two of her children that have had cochlear implants, and they have had a syndrome. So when she meets with other parents, and through her experience, she will tell them, look, this is what you're going through. This is what the solution I found. So it could be related to the assistive device they're using. It could be related to maybe a bullying issue. It could be related to what you mentioned just now with regards to the siblings. So, yes. I mean, you know, there's a wealth of information and support available, definitely.
And now, you know, very important, and you did mention this in the beginning of the show, and our caller also mentioned it, that explaining to peers, you know, at school, to obviously show respect and acceptance of, you know, the challenges that a child who has hearing loss may be experiencing, and also very important that not to judge. You know, believe it or not, that when a child starts wearing spectacles in the class, children do often feel very shy because not everybody in the class may be wearing spectacles. So they all kids do have challenges on different levels, but it's also coming to understand that we are all special, we are all unique, and we all matter. Very, very important. So if you could just maybe, you know, talk a little bit more of how our youth can show support to their peers with hearing challenges, and not just to their peers, to anybody that has a challenge.
I think the first thing is that we need to eliminate this whole idea of fear, because what tends to happen is that the minute you see a person that has a disability, it can be any disability, and obviously with hearing, initially you're not going to see the disability, but when the person may try to communicate with you, then it becomes apparent. And it's actually that the person on this side, so us having normal hearing, we feel disadvantaged, like, how are we going to actually overcome this barrier? And the main thing is not to be afraid. You are looking at a challenge, and all challenges can be overcome. So the main thing is to be able to try and approach the person and try to communicate with them. Make sure that you are facing them. They can see your face. A lot of the deaf people actually try and accommodate hearing people more than hearing people try and accommodate deaf people. So they would look at your face, they will ask you to repeat, they will try and write something down. So, and they're very, very happy if you come forward and you try and communicate with them, because then they don't feel like, you know what, you are leaving them out. They know that, okay, you're trying to include. So the main thing is, and that is comes in with what we call deaf culture. So deaf culture is very much that you're trying to include them into society. So try and make friends with people who have disabilities or a person who has a hearing loss, and make sure that, you know what, when you are, whatever interaction you are doing, you are not leaving that person out. Now, with cell phones and everything, so much of it is visual. You don't even need to speak so much anymore. So those little things is what is available. And I think the mindset is so important. And it's not only for the youth, it's also parents in any home, you know, to make sure, like for example, any big topic like racism, for example, we would use derogatory terms in our home because we want to stop the promotion of something like that. So even with disability, make sure that you, get your children to volunteer maybe at one of our schools. It's available in Indonesia, and let them interact with children who are having a disability. And interaction is most important. Once you immerse you will love it. I can tell you the children have come there. They want to come every time and help us in whichever way, even we don't meet them.
Alhamdulillah. Let's just remind you to our listeners that obviously Nasima is very passionate about the work that she does, and mashallah is doing a fantastic, fantastic job. We just have 2 more minutes before we need to round up. I need to ask you quickly, the policy for deafness and inclusion in the classroom, you know, if you can just tell us a little bit about that very, very quickly.
Okay, I think this was related to where we were having the discussion and then the advert came in. Well, with regards to that, I was mentioning that, you know, the minute that you see that the child has, you know, difficulty in terms of progressing, so the schoolwork, although you've put all systems in place to support the child is still not progressing. So, again, working through your school-based support team, you would contact the district support team that would then come in and do an assessment. And once they do an assessment, then they would recommend placement at a special school like ours for children who are deaf. And the child must have an LSEN number, which is a learner with special needs in education support. It's a number, basically. So a child can't come in as a parent and say, you know what, I think my child is going to benefit from coming to your school. There is a process that you have to follow according to the guidelines of the Gauteng Department of Education, or basically just the Department of Education. Yes.
Okay, JazakAllah, Sister Nasima, much appreciated to you and your team. May the Almighty reward you guys in abundance for educating and empowering our youth. JazakAllah so much. We look forward to speaking to you on Youth Talk again soon, inshallah.
Ameen. Keep well.
To our beloved listeners, to every parent out there, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for the outstanding work that you are doing in educating and empowering and loving and nurturing your children who are our future generation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you in whatever challenges you are facing as a parent. Remember, you are not alone. There is help out there, and please turn to Allah. There's always, always, always help out there. May Allah grant ease. To our beloved youth, remember that, you know what? Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show gratitude often for your parents who would do anything to sacrifice for you so that you can get the best of everything always. So always make shukr for your parents and the support that you have. On behalf of myself and my sound engineer, Hafez Shoaib Haji, we wish you a good week ahead. Please remember us in your du'as, as you are always in our du'as as well. I look forward to speaking to you again next week, inshallah. JazakAllahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.